Many of the songs that the psalms that we've had lately have been laments, like last week's prayer for deliverance from enemies in Psalm 17. But today we have a psalm of thanksgiving. It is a victory praise, and God has finally come through for David. The original version of this psalm can be found in 2 Samuel chapter 22, and I would encourage you to read it. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and 21 later on today. Chapter 21 gives you some context for 22. And you will find that this compilation psalm was written after Saul and Jonathan had been killed in battle, after David had survived an assassination attempt by the Philistines, and after all of Goliath's sons had sought retribution on David and were defeated. David survived a lot. And now he writes a psalm of praise and thanks. The version in Psalm 18 is the shared version for worship. In the superscript, you'll see that it was given to the choir director. We often make requests to God for help as well. We've had many this morning. But how often do we look back and praise God for the deliverance, the victories, and the rescues that God has given to us? Do we take time to go back and praise God for answered prayer? First, we see the one whom we are to praise. The psalm begins with, "I love you, Lord." The address is intimate and personal. And the word here for love is the kind of love that makes you want to run up to somebody and give them a great big hug. Some people have a hard time even telling their own families, "I love you." But when was the last time that you said, "I love you, Lord"? David uses images of God: my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my shield, my stronghold, the horn of my salvation. And what images do you use to praise God? As I was telling Grayson, I love the rock. I love that image, the cleft rock where you can hide, and the solid rock, that faithful steadfastness of God where one cannot be shaken. The rock, safety and stability, the high tower, security, the deliverer, our Savior, God Almighty, the only Lord, our Sovereign. The horn of salvation represents strength and refers to animals like the now extinct aurochs, that giant cattle who use their horns for offense and defense. The shield denotes protection as well. And instead of just saying what God does, David uses images that connote who God is. All of this leads to why we are to praise, which is what most of this psalm is about. We praise God for who God is, and we thank God for what God has done. David describes his trouble in great detail. He uses images of being hunted and being drowned. Someone pointed out that David had a totality of troubles. His enemies are personal, public, and private. His personal enemy, Saul, was out to kill him because of jealousy. His public enemies, the Philistines, not only threatening David, but all of Israel. And his private enemy, in verse 23, David actually says, "I have kept myself from my iniquity." Some kind of personal sin struggle that David has wrestled with and has now experienced a spiritual victory. Each of us struggles with something unique. Some of us have addiction issues. Others struggle with anger issues, or gossip, or pride, or various other things. We each are tempted in different ways. And over what sins or temptations have you experienced spiritual victory? Have you praised God for the changes that God has made in your life in giving you spiritual victory? Then David describes God in storm imagery. God's voice is thunder, and lightning are God's arrows. The wind is the voice of God's rebuke. God is the God of the skies, the God of fire and water. And it's really interesting that David uses this imagery because in David's time and before and after, Baal worship was popular among the peoples of the land, and Baal was known as the god of the storm and depicted as an aurochs bull. But David is saying, no, no, Yahweh Almighty is God, not only of the skies, but of the earth, of everything. Yahweh is the living God. Yahweh lives. Baal is a mere idol. The storm and natural disaster imagery also harkens back to Mount Sinai and the crossing of the Jordan. When David offers his praise, he recognizes that God's deliverance extends to him even before he was born. He connects with his history and sees God's hand at work. We too are part of a larger story. And where can you see God at work in your history? It often takes hindsight to see God's hand at work, and it's helpful to take a look back every now and then, because seeing how God has answered prayers in the past gives us confidence and hope that God will answer in the future. Praise increases our confidence in the Lord. In the storm imagery, God is described as hiding in darkness, but then brightness precedes God's appearing. In verse 28, David says, "You light my lamp. Yahweh, my God, illumines my darkness." Just because God conceals God's self does not mean that God is not at work. God is at work, even in the darkness of our lives. God pierces through our darkness and illumines our hearts and minds to give us spiritual understanding. God plucks us out from spiritual darkness and rescues us from our bleak circumstances. And so we praise God for God's work of deliverance and for God's wisdom, his spiritual illumination. In verses 20 through 24, David again tells how he has kept the ways of the Lord and says that the Lord has rewarded him according to his righteousness. Last week we said that the only righteousness that we can claim is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, but that God does bless those who are obedient. Though David claims righteousness, he does not make it a source of pride. For in verse 27 he says, "God saves the afflicted, but abases those with haughty eyes." Furthermore, in verse 32, David acknowledges that it is God who gives him his strength, and it is God who has made his way blameless. Only God can make us blameless. Do we give praise to God for God's blessings, for the changes that God has made in our lives, for the ability to keep God's law? In verses 25 and 26, we see that God reveals God's self in ways that we can identify. God, in his grace, reveals God's self to all. This is why in Romans 1 it says, "No one is without excuse." We may not know much about God, but we can know something of who God is. God amplifies kindness and blamelessness and purity. And even that fourth statement, "To the crooked you show yourself twisted," God reveals that God doesn't act in ways that twisted, crooked people expect. God's ways seem upside down to them, and indeed, God's kingdom is an upside down kingdom. In verses 30 through 45, David praises God for his military victories and describes them using precise, though perhaps somewhat exaggerated, hyperbolic language, what God has enabled him to do. He doesn't just say, "Thank you, Lord, for giving me victory over the Philistines." He's specific. "You've made my feet like deer's feet on high places. I didn't turn my ankles." So don't just thank God for answered prayer, but praise God for the specific way that God has answered the prayer. God often answers our prayers in ways that we didn't really expect. And when we think about the ways that God has acted, it's more personal and more real. And part of the praise is praise for God's word. In verse 30, David says, "The word of the Lord is tried." God's word is dependable. And God's word and work cannot be separated, for to God to speak is to do. We saw this earlier in the storm imagery when God utters his voice, hailstones and coals of fire fell. We can praise God for God's tried and true word will never return empty. And we can praise God for Jesus, the living word. This last verse of the psalm is praise for Jesus. Jesus is the seed of David, and though our translation says the descendants of David, the word is seed singular and only refers to Jesus. God's King, God's anointed one, the Christ is Jesus alone. David knew the promise of the seed, that promise that God made all the way back to Abraham. And David praises God for that which he will not get to see in his lifetime, but he knows is coming because God's word is dependable. God will not break God's covenant. Praise the Lord that he keeps his word. And praise the Lord for Jesus, the final word. And we can praise God for the things that he has not yet done, but we know that he's going to do because he's promised them to us. And finally, in verse 49, we see how we are to praise. David's praise is public. At the end of the psalm, he commits to spreading God's name among the nations and to proclaim the living Lord to foreigners, those who do not yet know God. He will give thanks publicly so that others can know how great God is. Praise is meant to be shared with others. One of the best ways that we can witness is to share the great things that God has done for us with other people. It is even more effective if we've shared with them before our troubles, letting folks know that God has answered our prayers and come through. God has brought victory and deliverance, witnesses to that the reality of who God is. David also praises God through song, and we can sing praises to the Lord as well, and not just at church. Praising God for answered prayers gives us hope. It empowers us to live confidently in the faith. It forms a witness to the gospel. It encourages other believers on their faith journey. It acknowledges God's rightful claim on our lives and gives God due credit for all we are and for all we do. It expands our view of God and helps us to see how mighty and marvelous is our Lord. So let us give God the praise that is due his name. Take time to look back and praise God for prayers that he has answered in your history. Praise him for the things that you know he will do. Praise him for the changes that he's made in your life. Let us praise God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you praise for working in our history from even before we were born. We give you praise for your true and living word. We give you praise for things that you have not yet done, but you say you will do. Lord, help us to look back on our lives and remember that, yes, you have answered prayers. Help us to reflect on our history and to give you the praise that is due your name. May we not be ashamed, but proclaim your praises to people around us, so that they can know how great and how good is our God. Thank you for revealing yourself to us in ways that we can understand and in ways with which we can identify. May we be reminded as we look around our world and make these connections of who you are and what you have done for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.